Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a well-windowed bunker in the Liberty Media capital of the world, Keene, New Hampshire. Michael Dean, regular host, can't be with us tonight because he's gone back in time to negotiate with the Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev and resolve the Cuban Missile Crisis. If you can hear my voice, everything is going to be all right. I'm Derek J., the Warrant Canary, with the State Deprogramming Network. And on the other end of the inner tubes in Missouri, we've got former prosecutor turned pro-freedom attorney, Randy England, the Wampus Cat.
Well, good evening, Derek.
Hey, Randy.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
All the way up there? Well, great.
We've got our voices bouncing around from Keene to Missouri to Minnesota to space. And we've got a few questions to consider this evening. Freedom questions. Questions on everyone's mind. You brought up an interesting one. Do most libertarians favor liberty mostly because it's right or moral? Or because it would make a better, more prosperous world? That is something we're going to consider. Talk about the pros and cons. And also, what signs, if any, that humans are moving toward a voluntary society? I can think of a few. But first, yeah. Did you just set your clocks back?
Back? Oh, you mean I wasn't supposed to set them forward?
I don't know what yours. I think, yeah, fall back. Yeah. What did you do?
I fell back if I got here at the right time.
I bring that up because it is a daylight savings type day, and that's a government invention, isn't it, Randy?
You know, it really is, and twice a year, it's really annoying to me because I have a brother who lives in Arizona, and people in Arizona rightly probably think that they're better than the rest of us because they don't have daylight savings time.
They kind of are because they don't have the government bossing them around telling them when to get up in the morning.
I know, and I have to, you know, I mean, I haven't admitted that to him, but I think it's true. I just soon leave it alone.
Yeah, do you see it as a government intrusion? This daylight savings time, I'd like to get rid of it altogether. We're past this now. We have the internet. People don't burn whale oil to light their homes. Can't we just give up this daylight savings thing? Why does it live on?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, and I'm not sure at the very beginning, was it the government that set it originally or was it the railroads?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I'm not sure of the history myself.
I mean, I think the railroads were probably the ones that really agreed and regularized the system of time zones and that in the country. But as to the daylight savings time, yeah, that was probably a government thing.
Well, so if there was a market solution back then where the railroads decided to set the times and set the norm, then why wouldn't the market today start to correct that? Why wouldn't airlines and different businesses around the world start saying, we're going to go by international time, or we're going to forget this daylight savings time thing. We're not going to respect that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't it always explained to you? I mean, I don't know what they say in urban areas. I mean, I grew up in the Midwest where everything's agricultural, and they explained that it was that, you know, so farmers would have more daylight in the morning or something.
Yeah, that's what they would say to me.
And you know, I heard it over and over. I always knew that there was the same amount of daylight no matter when you started. And always knew, of course, that, you know, farmers, if daylight was important at some, you know, whatever point this was kicking in, they were going to get up at dawn and start working as soon as they could see anyway. My wife pointed out that the daylight savings time maybe is good so the kids don't have to go to school in the dark. So I don't know.
You know. It is. It can be depressing when you start your work day and it's completely dark. So yeah. I'm for that. You know, whatever change that people want to make voluntarily to set their clocks one way or another, yeah, maximize that daylight. That sounds smart.
Well, I mean, I think that people would agree to one. I mean, it's better to do it one way than everybody doing it on their own. I mean, if you want to pretend that it's 4 o'clock in the morning right now, you could. But I'm thinking that people would adopt a standard whether they were told to or not.
Well, I like your suggestion that it come from the market, and airlines to me would be the first people who would be able to adopt a thing like that. But airlines, they're not too bright. In fact, I read a headline this week, Randy, flight canceled when Al-Qaeda Wi-Fi network became available. And I'm scratching my head right now because I'm thinking, Al-Qaeda? Did they mean Al-Qaeda? And how could a mistake like this seriously cause a flight to be canceled? But that's exactly what happened this week. As a plane taxied to a remote section of an airport and was held there for 3 hours, the flight was eventually canceled as a Wi-Fi network became available with the title Al-Qaeda Free Terror Network.
Yeah, and it was set up so that if you brought up your cell phone on the plane and were looking for an available network, you would find somebody had set up this Wi-Fi hotspot that was called Al-Qaeda or Al-Qaeda Free Terror Network, and obviously as a joke, right? Well, not obviously to the authorities, because they stopped the plane, what'd you say, for 3 hours, I guess it was?
Now, as a rational, yes, but as a rational, logical, thinking human being who's not an authority figure with the government, what would your initial thoughts be when you see a Wi-Fi network pop up that's available, and it's called Al-Qaeda Free Terror Network with several misspellings? What do you think about that?
Well, obviously, you would think that terrorists were using that to communicate with one another on the airplane, right?
No, I wouldn't think that at all.
I mean, really?
Wow, now, someone's clever.
No, but they were clever enough to misspell Al-Qaeda and to misspell the word network, at least in the graphic that they showed on the article.
Oh, that's going to fool the authorities.
No, but maybe if they were dumb enough to misspell those words, they'd be dumb enough to put, you know, Free Terror Network on it. You know, I mean,
it's just too funny. Like, think about what terrorists are that poor at planning that they're like, okay, here's the idea. We're going to, instead of synchronized watches or something, they're all going to jump on the same Wi-Fi connection. And then what?
Well, maybe so, for some reason they need a common Wi-Fi connection. I would concentrate on what name they would pick for it so that they could all get on the same page, you know?
So I thought this was just some gross over-exaggeration on the part of the authorities, but then it turns out when I turned to a couple other articles, one from ABC News, there was an interview by one of the people who was on the plane, and he's saying, oh, thank goodness they grounded that plane, you know, who knows what it could have been. This guy really still was in fear for his life, thought that it was a really stupid thing. Do you think that's a legitimate fear?
Well, no, it's just stupid. It's just idiotic. The best part of the whole article that I looked at, it said they were unable to find out who had done it. After I saw this thing, I got my phone out, and I can set up a Wi-Fi hotspot, and I just pull it out real quick just to see how long it would take me to set up the hotspot, and more important, turn it off and get rid of all the evidence of it on the phone itself, and I figure 15 seconds. Put it up, take it down. I mean, this guy could have done this. He could have waited till everybody started, you know, having a fit over it, and then he could have just picked up his phone, made it disappear, put it in his pocket, and it would be over with. And now maybe some forensic expert could have got into his phone, but once you erase the data on the, you know, your Wi-Fi hotspot name and put a new one in its place, there's no way an examination of the phone on anything short of a forensic analysis could possibly see that. So it'd be almost impossible to get caught doing this. But the thing that is so stupid was taking it seriously. I mean, we're in a society now that you know, when a child draws a picture of a gun, you know, they get kicked out of school, right?
That's true. Although I read recently that in New York and in other places, students of the Sikh religion are now permitted to carry blunted knives with them in school as part of a religious practice. So it's not all things, although the government people do tend to overreact when it comes to weapons.
It's just crazy. Hey, let me tell you, here's one thing that really happened right here in my town. When I was a prosecutor, we had a guy come into a bank. It was actually my bank, not far from my house. Come into the bank, and he had a clear glass bottle that had absolutely nothing in it. He went up to the counter. He was a bank robber. He went up to the counter and told the teller that if she didn't give him all the money and fill the bag, he was going to open the top of that because there was an evil spirit in
that
bottle.
No way.
There was an evil spirit in the bottle. She gave him all the money. And he left, got away, and then he was caught later. And it ended up in our office. We're supposed to charge him, you know, with bank robbery.
Did you charge him?
Well, as it turned out, it was kind of funny. The guy was completely nuts.
Obviously. Right? I mean, he's clearly nuts going into a bank, robbing it with evil spirits. I mean, when you said it was empty, that's what I was thinking. Like, well, what's he going to say? There's a ghost in there. He's going to let it loose. And yeah, that's exactly what he said. Now, anyone who buys that, they're obviously, I mean, she doesn't deserve to keep her job, right? Maybe that guy doesn't get charged with a crime, but also the teller. I mean, come on. Are you going to stay at that job? I wouldn't want to keep an employee like that. Like, hey, don't take these people seriously.
Probably, though, the teller had it beaten into her head so long that you give it up immediately.
Yeah.
That she did. If I recall, it wasn't my case. It didn't come to me, but it was a bit of a problem. And everybody thought, you know, somehow we managed to get a mental exam on the guy. And yeah, he was as crazy as he could be. And some kind of deal was worked out in advance that he would go get help. And we didn't have to prosecute the guy for bank robbery. But the police treated it and sent it and wanted it charged as a bank robbery.
That is what some people would say. And that's what some of the people on the plane were saying about this man, that he had to be crazy, man or woman. We don't know quite who put up the Al Qaeda Free Terror Network.
Nah, just a questionable sense of humor, that's all.
Would you be afraid if you saw such a thing? Or would you react and add your own Wi-Fi network?
No, I'd laugh.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Worms. Welcome back. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowed bunker in Keene, New Hampshire, Liberty Media capital of the world. Wampus Cat, Randy England on the other end of the inner tubes. Hey, Wampus Cat.
Hey, Derek.
And we're talking about this crazy story out of L.A. where a flight was grounded because someone offered free Wi-Fi. That's literally what happened. The Wi-Fi network was called Al Qaeda. And the Al Qaeda Free Terror Network, spelled wrong. And this frightened the airline so much that out of, quote, an abundance of caution, the American Airlines flight was canceled. But Randy, you brought up an interesting problem with that solution, just canceling the flight and moving them over to another plane. What is that?
Well, it's too easy. I mean, it said in the article that the person responsible for setting up the hotspot, and I don't know that the hotspot was even connected to the internet. It might have just been the network there on the plane. I have never tried to set up a hotspot when my internet connection was down, but at any rate, they said they never discovered who did it. I mean, what would stop this from happening, you know, five people setting up terror networks on their phone every flight that went out. I mean, what would they do?
Yeah, or what if you just set up the, you know, like U.S. Army network or something, and then they maybe got scared and disappear? Or, well, according to the article here at Ars Technica, it was because of a snitch. A concerned passenger notified a flight attendant of the network at about 9:30 p.m., and the plane taxied to a remote section of the Los Angeles airport and was held for 3 hours. Now, I don't know, they didn't interview everybody on the plane, but the one interview that I did see from ABC News had a man who was just oh so thankful that he was held for 3 hours, because, you know, what the alternative could have been, free Wi-Fi, that would have been just terrifying. It says, after an hour, the captain said there was a security threat and we didn't have clearance to take off. But after an investigation, it was determined that no crime was committed and no further action will be taken. So there you go, clever jokesters of the world. You can set up your own creatively named Wi-Fi networks, terrorize your friends and neighbors, and it's not a crime.
Terrorize them simply with the name of the network.
Exactly.
What if I did that here at my house?
People do that. Have you seen some of those wars that people will have? They're cold wars, of course.
Yes, people like to get creative with the name of their network.
Yeah, but they'll do things like, you know, I'm stealing your Wi-Fi, and they'll just name that the network, or, you know, try harder next time, and then, you know, they'll lock it up, or they have creative names. It's like a way to communicate with your neighbors.
So the Keen Terror Network.
That might be next.
One of your neighbors could set that up.
Hey, you know, speaking of the Keen Terror Network, or just the Keen Network in general, there was a really cool event that happened this weekend, Randy, called Keenvention. It was the second year that this took place, and it's a small little convention of about 150 or so of the most hardcore liberty activists in the world. At least that's my perception. There were keynote speeches and panel discussions, bonfire, dance party, and it all ended with an event called Social Sunday. It was really cool, and I think what makes it a special event worth mentioning is the network aspect of it. You called the, jokingly, the Keen Terror Network. But one of the things that I get to see play out in real life is the connectivity of activists using two-way radios and you know, mobile devices to communicate with each other, to coordinate things as simple as a lunch party, or, you know, like going out to lunch together. But then as things as complicated and as essential as video recording police, you know, in an emergency situation, and everything in between. So it was really cool, and I just wanted to put it out there. If people missed it, they can catch it next year. Keenvention.info.
Was that very much dedicated toward activism?
Yeah, that's the focus. Like, there's other events that take place around New Hampshire throughout the year that focus on liberty and
theory,
the ideas. Yeah, and theory. This is really about, like, boots on the ground. What can we do? Cameras in our hands, uploading video to YouTube. This isn't just speculating about what the future of freedom would look like. It's like trying it out today and seeing how it goes and changing our tactics based on that.
Quarters in our hands for the parking meters.
Yeah, quarters in our hands. And speaking of Robin Hooding, feeding parking meters to save people from getting parking tickets. Robin Hood of Keene was there. Not just throughout the convention, he gave one of the keynote speeches, and he won top prize at the costume dance party, dressed as Robin Hood.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Yeah. about dance parties, freedom, and how to achieve both. Sometimes you can have both. We had it this weekend in Keene. I threw a costume dance party. It was the first ever, like, big-time dance party that I've ever thrown. You know, I've put on music and had people dancing around before, but this was, like, rent out a ballroom, drinks, bar. It was a pretty serious event. There were lasers. You should have been there, Randy.
Was this connected with the Keene Convention?
Yes, it was. It was one of the events at Keenevention. And I just thought it grew out of wanting something fun to do on a Friday or Saturday night, saying, hey, we're going to have a bunch of liberty-loving people all together in the same place. We could do lots of different things. How about a dance party? And it ended up being a real hit. It was a good time. But I bring it up because there's another dance party that didn't end quite as well that happened in St. George, Utah. And the headline from St. George News is "Dancing at Monster Mash Party Stopped by Police Over Disputed Event Permit." Now, we talked about this a little bit on Free Talk Live a few days ago, right when this story broke. And the people from this community were generally against the actions of the police. Can you believe it, Randy?
No, I can't believe that.
Well, it's true. They didn't support their local authoritarians, and they were calling in to the show saying, you know, this is a heavy-handed response. What heavy-handed response? Well, let me explain. Reading from stgeorgeutah.com, a Halloween party at Fiesta Fun Center Friday night had unexpected guests in blue uniforms show up to shut down a part of the event. A dance party. Organizers say they had a city-approved permit allowing it. City officials said they didn't. So it's one of those cases of,
Well, you know, you said guests. It sounds more like party crashers to me.
They sure do. I don't think they were invited. The Monster Mash was an event organized by the Heart of Dixie event group. And from what I understand, this Heart of Dixie group, they put on lots of different events and usually work with the city. It's not like the same thing as a bunch of activists in Keene, for example, putting on a dance party and the government saying, no, we don't really want to rent to you. This is a group that works with the government on a pretty regular basis. So they advertised unlimited access to bumper boats, go-karts, mini golf, and a dance party.
Sounds like chaos.
Well, I think it sounds like a good time. And the event was from 9 to 1 Friday to Saturday. So totally makes sense. It's in the Halloween, like week before Halloween weekend, and sometime between 9:30 and 10 p.m. So like right at the beginning of this thing kicking off, 5 to 6 St. George police officers arrived on scene instructing that no dancing was to take place. This according to the owner, Brett Crockett.
So the mini golf could go on.
Thank goodness the mini golf is okay.
The bumper boats.
Everything was fine except the dancing. So Crockett, he's the owner of this venue, the Fiesta Fun Center, which arguably wasn't so fun once the police showed up. He supplied the venue and the extra amenities and security for the Monster Mash. And he didn't have a hand in securing the disputed permit allowing dancing, but he says there was no beef with the music. It was just the mere fact of no dancing allowed.
I mean, shots hadn't been fired or anything. There was
no, there was
nothing
no one,
like this, right?
No one bleeding, no chaos, no screams, no complaints either. I can't imagine who at the Fiesta Fun Center was saying, man, these bumper carts and golf is great, but I just wish these people would stop moving around. That's really caused me problems. So Carly Jarvis, she's one of the security people for the Heart of Dixie, and she said they had a special events permit, and it had been obtained. Now, I'm the kind of person who says, you don't need a permit for this sort of thing. For dancing, are you kidding me? I wouldn't ask for one. She did. She went ahead and asked for her permit. It didn't matter. It didn't matter that she had it, because the local thugs came and said, No, that doesn't count anymore. It doesn't matter that we issued you this permit. We changed our minds, I guess.
I wonder if they got any resistance. I mean, when they came crashing in, was anyone tempted to, kind of keep dancing? Or
that's what I would have liked to see. I don't know how many people were out on the dance floor at the time, but apparently Crockett, the owner, said that an announcement was even made over the center's speakers.
There is to be absolutely no dancing this evening.
I mean, it would have been kind of fun to, like, after the music stopped, if you just kind of kept going.
Well, apparently, so we asked this to some of the callers on Free Talk Live who called in from St. George, and they said, according to the law there, it's not the individual dancer who would be charged with a crime. You see, it's the business owner who would be slapped with some sort of penalty for having a human dancing on their property without a permit, of course. If they had a permit, it would be fine. So, quote, "It was the strangest thing I've ever seen," Crockett said. While the officers stayed and observed the event, he said one of them was taking video. What do you think that was for, Randy? You're a former prosecutor. Do they use these types of videos to convict people?
I've never been a dance Nazi, though.
using cameras.
I was looking at this thing. It said they had 20 security guards at the place before the first cop showed up.
Yeah, that's right. So they were pretty much overstaffed already.
So maybe the security guards could have escorted the officers out or something.
Boy, wouldn't that have been cool? I would like to see some sort of peaceful resistance of, like, oh, hey, police, thanks for showing up, but we don't need you here anymore. So
everything's fine.
Yes. Yeah. You know, you're not invited to this party, and if you're on the clock, you know, I'm your taxpayer, I'm paying your salary. I'd rather you be out maybe driving around catching real criminals, not hanging out at my dance party, ruining it. Well, anyway, the initial permit had apparently been amended. So this group, it's one of those, oh, we got the permit. No, you didn't. Well, here's what happened. Sometime after the police arrived, St. George Police Captain Scott Staley arrived with what was described as, quote, an absolutely new packet that said, quote, no dancing in pen. So the original permit that these people got, you know, several pages or whatever, the police showed up with a new one that had a couple extra pages added and a little pen mark, no dancing allowed. Would you take that seriously if you were handed this permit from the police?
I don't know how anyone, you really, really wish, they were probably so stunned they didn't know what to do, but you wish they had laughed and kept dancing.
Yeah, they should have laughed, but unfortunately, I guess they were scared into
leaving. You know, maybe they would have started executing people or something. I don't know. Was there a dog there? They certainly would have shot the dog.
It's unclear. The news report doesn't indicate that. But due to the cancellation of the dance party, news apparently spread by the attendees to friends, and it got out that the Monster Mash didn't draw as much of a crowd as it had hoped. The Fiesta Fun Zone made around 20% of what they had anticipated, and some of the attendees wanted refunds. They were leaving upset. So I might do the same. You know, if I know I'm not going to be able to fight the charge, that I'm just going to incur a penalty to the business owner, well, I don't really want that. That's not a win. I might just leave.
They've just
ruined it.
The only thing I can do now is, I guess they're going to have to go to the city council. Maybe if this was authorized by the council, then something needs to be done about that. Like, just get rid of this whole permit thing, because who needs a permit to dance? And if it wasn't, they ought to fire the chief.
I think you're right.
Whoever came in and did this, because this is just ridiculous. It's absurd. I'm speechless.
Yeah, six officers.
What are you supposed to say about anything? You know, you could go your whole life and not see anything this dumb.
Well, it is the law there in St. George, apparently. And I think you're right about your remedy there. I'm usually hesitant to suggest going to the government or taking it to City Hall, but This is one, I don't see how you could fight this with civil disobedience, with just peaceful dancing, unless a business owner were willing to take it on himself. You couldn't just volunteer a business owner to take the penalty on this charge.
Peaceful dancing as opposed to the dancing that was going on.
Right. The unpermitted violent dancing, I guess. Well, hey, there was a response from the Heart of Dixie. They issued a response right away. They said, the city issued a permit. We applied for a special event permit for a dance. It was issued. Then, when they had no way to shut it down, they produced additional pages to the permit that we were not given, on which they had handwritten that the dance was not allowed. Not to mention that we were on private property. It's a First Amendment right to dance. We weren't playing music loud enough to be heard off the property. And when the police were there, no one was dancing. Six officers to make sure no one was dancing. Dancing is not a crime. Some dancing's a crime, but
well, they weren't. They're not just Nazis.
Victimless.
They're crooked Nazis. I mean, they lied. They you had a deal, you had a permit you issued, and then they tacked on extra pieces of paper. That's the kind of thing to get a lawyer disbarred. What cops can do it, though, I guess.
No, I made a whole movie about this in 2012. It's called Victimless Crime Spree. You can watch it free online at victimlesscrimespree.com. And the whole idea is that there's all these actions in normal human behavior that's been criminalized by governments, like the government of St. George, Utah, where dancing, a crime that I can't find a victim.
Yeah, your crime spree was about as violent as the dance part.
That's right.
Well, a good analogy.
These behaviors that are criminalized, I think they need to be challenged. We just need to find some peaceful, creative way, some effective way to bring about more freedom.
Go for it, St. George.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. You've heard of shinybadges.com, but check out the new Causes tab. Every item includes a donation to a worthwhile Liberty Project. Buy the Silk Road pin to contribute to the Ross Ulbricht Legal Defense Fund, or buy the Bitcoin Not Bombs t-shirt to contribute to Hoodie the Homeless 2014. Pick from many more. Go to causes.shinybadges.com and get yourself some quality Liberty products that not only start a conversation, but also put your money where your heart is. Plus, get a free gift when you pay with Bitcoin. causes.shinybadges.com.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. When I needed a robust and secure home business computer network for my radio show, I hired QPG.us. QPG.us did a great job with a complex custom setup and did it remotely over the internet. Whether you have one computer or 1,000, QPG.us can set up your small business network, no matter where in the world you live, fast and at a reasonable price. QPG.us is a liberty-loving company that can also help you with networking, domain name registration, DNS, email, SSL, VPNs, and more. That's QPG.us.
Meow. Meow. Meow, 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 meow. Rare. Worms. Talking about dancing, criminal dancing. Dancing without permission. Whose permission do you need to dance anyway? Well, apparently in St. George, Utah, you need the whole city government to give you permission. That is, if you ask for a permit. I don't know if that's such a good idea in the first place. Randy, you're a former attorney, or I guess you're currently an attorney, but you were a prosecutor. So put your prosecutor hat on for me for a moment, if you can stand it, and tell me, how hardcore could you crack down on these criminal dancers if you had the chance?
I couldn't crack down on them at all. These things...
It's these apparently a crime, right? I mean, if you need a permit...
They come to prosecutors, and most prosecutors, or at least ones that are sensible, know what to throw in the garbage.
Yeah, you sort of explained that in the past. Like, there will be cops who... Like, they had a bad attitude or a bad day, and they were giving someone some frivolous ticket. It'll reach your desk as a prosecutor, and you'll say, I'm dropping this. Yeah, well, you were just being silly.
I mean, if someone was arrested in this for, say, kept dancing, I mean, that could very well have happened. If someone had kept dancing, just because it wasn't a crime, perhaps it wasn't a crime for an individual dancer, that didn't mean that all six cops got the memo, okay? And they could go to arrest one person, and as soon as they put their hands on him and the guy pulled his arm away, well, then you have resisting arrest, and six cops will be on him like a monkey on a banana. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to get bad. And that one could come in, and that'd be an ideal one for a prosecutor to say, look, you stepped up to arrest somebody who didn't even do anything that was a crime. And when he didn't want to be arrested, I'm just not going to file it. So, go.
I think there's something fishy going on in this city government, because they're saying, it seems to me like they're just making it up as they go along. I think that's pretty common for government people. They're like, well, I have the authority to do this because, well, I just think that would be a nice idea if I had the authority to order people around and you had to ask my permission. So
making it up as they go along. That's kind of like if they're just sitting on a radio show talking, right?
Well, yeah, but then we don't claim to have authority or boss people around, tell them what to do. That's the difference.
I don't have a badge anymore, no.
Yeah. Well, Mark Mortensen, he's the assistant to the city manager. He said that applications for outdoor dances and concerts must first be heard, vetted, and finally approved by the city council. I mean, that is a lot of permission to be asking to have an outdoor dance.
Wow.
I don't think city I would council. Like to have one in St. George.
And they only meet once a quarter or something?
Yeah, so you better know when you want to dance. And ask permission well ahead of time.
Ahead of time. No impromptu dancing.
I did hear that it was recently repealed in St. George. So they're moving in the right direction. To one of your earlier questions, do we see humanity moving toward a voluntary society? Yes, I do. It happens in baby steps. We can recognize it because we can imagine much more freedom than we have today. But it was not too long ago that in St. George, Utah, it was a crime to spontaneously dance on the street alone. That has since been repealed, and now people are free to dance in the street if they want to, dance in public spaces. This is a private property issue, and I don't understand why it still applies if a group is throwing a dance party, why they would need to ask permission. But that's what the city manager is saying. But then again, I brought up, they're making it up. Because the events people, this Heart of Dixie, they said they applied online, and online it says nothing about being vetted by the city government. So he just made that up.
Well, yeah, but even if there was a rule that you had to go through steps X, Y, and Z, the person who applies for the permit and gets it granted, don't take it out on them. Take it out on the guy who messed up and granted.
That's a good point. Although the form to ask permission for a dance party is 5 pages long. So good luck filling that out. Also, it does not state that activities are subject to review by a city council. Oh, and all of those requirements are outlined in a separate document. Several more pages. Because you've got all the time in the world to read government documents, right? Better make sure you cross your T's and dot your I's next time you ask permission to dance. We'll be right back with more redemption. Stories of freedom in America. This is Freedom Fiends.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Shire, where the hobbits live and the peaceful people who want a voluntary society want to engage with their friends and neighbors peacefully and through trade. On the other end of the inner tubes, it's Randy England, the Wampus Cat.
Right here.
And we're rocking and rolling along. Michael Dean, he of course can't be with us because he's back in time resolving the Cuban Missile Crisis. So glad everything's okay. The future could have been so much different. Unfortunately, we're still dealing with problems of freedom, even in America, even in places like St. George, Utah, where a dance party has been forbidden. Not because dancing is forbidden. Oh, no, that would be silly. But because the permitting process was not properly followed. And that's much more serious, isn't it, Randy?
You know, I apologize to folks in St. George because I'd never heard of St. George before. And I just assumed that it was, you know, some little town of 5,000 people, you know, some place that would get bent out of shape over someone dancing.
Yeah, like something from Footloose, that movie from the 80s where dancing was actually prohibited.
But St. George, Utah, as a population of over 75,000 people,
yeah,
the second fastest growing metropolitan area in the United States, only after Greeley, Colorado.
Wow.
In 2005, and then it goes on. Well, it said it slowed down a little bit due to the recession, but I'm thinking maybe it slowed down a little bit because you can't dance there.
That's right. Who wants to go? Emma Goldman said, I won't be part of your revolution if there is no dancing. You can't have a revolution without it, man. And I guess the police see that because they're trying to put the clamp down on it. Now, you said you didn't know St. George. I had heard of St. George before as an activist working for Greenpeace. I got to meet many people from the St. George area who worked together on environmental causes. They've got a hardcore libertarian community out there. Did you know that Freedom Fiends is on the air broadcasting in St. George, Utah?
Well, hi, St. George.
Hello, everyone.
Well, yeah, you know,
good morning to you.
A town that size, you figure you would have heard of it, but I didn't.
Yep. It's a good one, and it will stay on my radar. I hope that they're able to fight this one and win. I'd like to see dancing be something that you don't have to ask permission to do. But I think it's good that we have places like Keene where you can go to a dance party, and literally the costumes that people wore themselves were a celebration of freedom. Two liberty activists, Brett Vinat and Ian Freeman of Free Talk Live, were dressed as judges, just lampooning the whole idea of these authority figures. They were ordering people onto the dance floor. I thought that was pretty funny. So it's sort of the opposite here of what happened in St. George.
St. George is known as Utah's Dixie.
Oh, now what is that? What's the Dixie mean?
I mean, I guess it means south.
Yeah.
And so it is really south. It looks like it's really down at the very bottom of Utah, practically. What is that down there? Arizona?
Yeah, it's one of those. It's Mexico.
Yeah. Well, not Mexico.
Oh, it's all Mexico. Wasn't it all just stolen land from Mexico?
Oh, you mean once Mexico? Well, yes. You're probably right about that, but someone from St. George would know that for sure.
You know, speaking of the Mexico area, there was an outstanding story this week, and I hope you heard about it, Randy. I read about it at thelibertybeat.com and heard about it through the Liberty Beat, which is carried on GCN, this radio network. They reported that a Austin police officer lost his job just 4 days ago, was let go because of some of the testimony he shared in a trial in defense of another activist's rights. Have you heard anything about the Antonio Bueller trial, Randy?
You know, I looked at that just briefly before we came on the air. And was it that the police officer testified on behalf of the defense? Is that right?
That's exactly right. And that's a pretty unusual thing to happen. The general situation, for folks who aren't familiar, is that there was a young man who's ex-Marine, tall, handsome, very well built, and has morals, cares about justice. Saw two young women being what he thought looked like abused by authority figures in blue costumes, otherwise known as police. He decided to stand across the street and film them. There was another person who was also filming from across the street. He got a little bit closer and was arrested for, I guess, interfering was his charge. The trial happened this week. I think it was 5 days. There was testimony from both sides. The police were trying to make it out like he interfered with this legitimate investigation happening at a gas station. These two drunk ladies, they needed to be stopped because they're dangerous criminals, and the police were doing everything right by detaining them. Well, turns out the testimony of one of the officers trying to convict Antonio wasn't entirely accurate, and that all came out during the trial. It was enough to, spoiler alert, he was found not guilty. So after this trial, now when this article was written, they didn't know that yet, but it was looking very good. Let me delve into this article from thelibertybeat.com. The thin blue line, writes John Bush, the unwritten police compact, which holds that officers should get each other's back no matter the circumstance, has been crossed. On day two of the Antonio Bueller trial, which wrapped up late Friday afternoon, Austin police officer Jermaine Hopkins testified on behalf of Antonio's defense regarding the ins and outs of reasonable suspicion. Now, as a former prosecutor, are you able to explain what that means? What reasonable suspicion, I get that in English. I get what that means. But is there legalese behind that term?
Well, reasonable suspicion, sometimes they use that word, often use the word articulable with it. They love those big words. But it means more than a hunch. You have to be able to explain to somebody with a straight face why you think somebody was committing a crime or was about to commit a crime. And so reasonable suspicion, you can't come up and stop someone, either pull them over or make them stop just on the road, go up and make them stand there while you talk to them, unless you have reasonable suspicion. It's a pretty low level, but it has to be something. It can't just be, I knew that guy, he's a crook, so I went up and stopped him. You can't do that.
Well, what about failure to obey the order of an officer?
Well, you know, that's different in different places. Usually there's something in there about failure to obey a lawful order. But, you know, it's kind of interesting. I mean, a lawful order can be an order that is made, but there are lots of things, like in the state of Missouri, and I don't, you know, that's where I live, so sorry for that. My examples all seem to go there. There's, if a police officer in, say, Kansas City, and this is the only place that this is true, but it's a state law, stops somebody and they have reasonable suspicion to stop them, they can demand their name and their purpose, their address, and where you're going. But it doesn't say anything in the statute at all about your duty to answer.
Hmm.
And so, you know, if it's lawful for a cop to walk up to you and say, "Nice day, isn't it, Derek?" You know, that doesn't mean that you have to say, "Why, yes, it is."
Yeah, you can't be compelled to speak.
Well, some places say that you can be compelled to speak. There's
oh my
Supreme Court case. There was a case.
That's pretty terrifying. I mean, what if you're in a coma?
Well,
they make an exception.
Well, you would have to be able to speak before they get hold of you.
I think if it's a crime that you can commit while in a coma, then it's not a crime.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's probably right. They call them stop and identify statutes.
Well, you know, I have a problem with this just because it seems like a circular logic thing. I've tried this in court, Randy, where I ask, you know, was that a lawful order? Because I believed I've been given orders that are not lawful. Well, objection, judge, that's a legal determination. This witness is not qualified to make a legal determination. Well, wait a minute. If he's qualified to charge me with a crime, isn't that a legal determination? If he's giving what he is calling a lawful order, isn't he making a legal determination already?
Well, he's making one, but it doesn't have any... it doesn't have any legal force. I mean, if you get arrested for jaywalking, you're really arrested on suspicion of jaywalking. Until you actually get charged with jaywalking, it's not, you know, your status as it goes along. But yeah, to ask a police officer what the law is probably not going to be allowed to be answered in most courts.
Well, it's just weird because, okay, so if you're given an unlawful order, maybe you don't have to obey that. Like if he says, untie your shoes and do 20 jumping jacks, I order you. And you say, no, I don't believe you have the legitimate authority to order me to do something like that. Well, you would be found in court to be right, right? But you're making a legal determination that he doesn't have the lawful authority.
Neither you're saying you don't have the authority, or you're thinking he doesn't have the authority, or him saying it or him thinking it is of any relevance. The only thing that's relevant in court is that the witness will say what happened. You can say what happened, just the facts, right?
Right, and just then the facts.
When you're done, then you can argue that it was not a legal order. And you would argue that to the court, to the judge. The most judges, unless they're, you know, kind of idiots that can't control their courtroom, are not going to let you get into a legal argument with a witness.
They're just going
to stop you.
Did you get some of your training from cop shows like Dragnet?
Gosh, that's so insulting, isn't it?
Oh, I'm not trying to insult you, but when you said just the facts, that's what I'm thinking. You're Joe Friday over here collecting just the facts.
Joe Friday got that from me.
No. You heard it. Wampus Cat invented facts. All right. Correction, Antonio is being tried for failure to obey an officer.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to The Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And, I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Radio Liberty show, unlike any show in the world, frankly. We talk liberty here. We talk some tyranny, but really, I think this is the show that reminds you, while things might be bad, they're still fun to be had. So we're talking about the Antonio Bueller trial that's happening in Austin, Texas. It's recently concluded. He was found not guilty. Spoiler alert. Yay for freedom. But he was being tried for a Class C misdemeanor, failure to obey the order of an officer. Sounds like a pretty serious crime. Disobedience. It's the highest crime in some places and in some regards. So the idea was that Bueller's attorney was trying to convince the jury that the order given to Antonio to put his hands behind his back was not a lawful order, as Officer Oborski had no reasonable suspicion to detain Antonio in the first place. Now, with me, Randy England, you're a former prosecutor. Put your prosecutor cap back on. Do they have a case here?
Well, I was looking at this, reading what was happening at the trial. And, you know, first of all, we were talking about whether you could even get into such an argument with a witness. And normally you can't. You can argue about what happened, but you can't argue with a witness or even get a witness. You can have all kinds of experts that come to trial and give their expert opinion. But the one expert, you know, that you're not going to have a police officer coming in and being a legal expert for the benefit of the judge. I mean, that's not going to happen. But what it looks like happened in this case is that the prosecutor had put the police officers on first, and they testified that they thought they had reasonable suspicion, that they would have reasonable suspicion if someone merely seemed out of place. And they really should,
that's all it takes?
They should not have been allowed to testify to that effect unless the law is really different in Texas than it is up here. They wouldn't be allowed to do that. But once they came in with that, they call that opening the door to let the defense come back and give them a double portion of what they've been feeding the jury when they shouldn't have been. And that is for the defense to put on their own legal expert and give her a different opinion. And so then this officer Hopkins, I believe it was, the police officer that got himself in trouble.
Yes.
He got on and testified and said that's just wrong. I mean, somebody just seeming out of place is not enough to go up and detain them and move them. And of course, you know, reading between the lines here, this guy didn't seem out of place. You know good and well those cops knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, seemed like they were trying to stop him from video recording them and keeping an objective record of what was happening, which was thuggery. I mean, they were trying to hide their thuggish actions.
Exactly right. And one other thing that really was stunning about this is that Hopkins, the police officer, did he lose his job? But
He was fired.
Yeah, it said that he was subpoenaed by the defense.
Wow.
And his supervisor was notified that he was subpoenaed and would be testifying, and he was told he was no longer going to have a job. Last time I looked, you know, nobody's allowed to disobey a subpoena, and especially a cop. I would think they would fire a cop for disobeying a subpoena, not obeying one.
Yeah, you know, he had to come and attend court. He had to testify. He had to tell the truth, right? He swore an oath. It says Hopkins' testimony here, reading from the LibertyBeat.com, which was written by John Bush. He says Hopkins' testimony showed that verbal expression alone is not enough to be considered interference, nor would it in any way constitute reasonable suspicion, which is necessary in order to detain someone. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, reasonable suspicion refers to whether the defendant was committing a crime by videotaping the police. And it just wasn't there. I mean, the only way that you could get to that was if somebody was filming so close that they were physically interfering. And that never happens. You don't see that in any of these cases. The people are always standing many feet away, sometimes 20 and 30 feet away. And it's obvious they're no threat, but the police don't want them there.
Now, there is a silver lining to this cloud. There's a lot more information about this story, and I think a reason to celebrate.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Swerps. Freedom Fiends, welcome back. We are live talking about a good cop. A good cop who tells the truth. He stood up for an activist who was standing up for his rights, and it's not the first time he's done this. Apparently, this guy Hopkins has a history of going against the grain at the Austin Police Department. According to the LibertyBeat.com, John Bush writes that during his testimony last week, it was revealed that he's currently on administrative leave for taking a complaint of discrimination outside the chain of command. For bringing forward the complaint, Hopkins stated APD retaliated against him by withholding his overtime pay. He later got the Department of Labor involved, and they decided against the Austin Police Department. Well, this time, crossing the thin blue line is going to cost him more than overtime pay. Is this something that cops generally have to consider, Randy? Do you experience this when you were a prosecutor? Were they afraid to testify for fear of losing their jobs?
Well, it isn't very often that the police testify for the defense. I mean, I saw it a couple of times, you know, when I was a prosecutor, but it was when they had to, and they just got up and, you know, told what was what, and that was the end of it. It wasn't really a big deal.
What's the difference between testifying for the defense and testifying during cross-examination? Because if the prosecutor calls these police as witnesses, can't the defense then just cross-examine them? They'd be able to ask the same questions, wouldn't they?
Well, I have a feeling that this prosecutor would never call Officer Hopkins if his life depended on it.
Oh, yeah, good point, because this guy goes against the grain.
But sure, when a state's witness, you know, you have some good stuff you can get out of them. You know, you cross-examine them. Sometimes you get really good stuff, and you know, you have a cop up there who's honest. He's gonna give it to you straight. And sometimes it's pretty bad for the case.
They're not interested in honesty in courtrooms. So what's happening? Well, apparently, Hopkins replied, stating that his supervisor hearing, he was subpoenaed, that upon his supervisor hearing, he was subpoenaed, and that he would be testifying in the case. His supervisor told him that he would no longer have a job after October 30th.
That's hard to understand.
Don't you think isn't that a crime? Isn't that something that could be investigated? Hey, you were subpoenaed, and you're going to be testifying. Yeah, we don't want you here anymore. I mean, where else could that be legitimate? I used to work at JCPenney. If my boss heard that I was subpoenaed and I was going to be testifying in some case, she couldn't just fire me. I mean, this seems frivolous and arbitrary.
Well, that's true. Of course, if in a perfect world, the police department could fire anybody they wanted. But then there wouldn't be a police department, so...
Well, John Bush writes that it appears that when an officer goes against the thin blue line, his days on the force are numbered.
you know, and I wonder, you know, what it's like. I mean, Officer Hopkins in this case, you know, has to be thinking, you know, what am I doing here? I mean, everybody who you know, gets in a position like this, I kind of had a, you know, a situation that wasn't quite as aggravated when I was a prosecutor, because I frequently got crosswise with the police.
Weren't you supposed to be friendly with them? You're the prosecutor. You guys are on the same team.
I'm friendly with everybody. But they want you to do things, you know, that, you know, aren't right, or that are things that are really stupid. Often they demand that a case be filed when the case is just no good. And in fact, if you did file it, the officer would end up looking like a doofus on the stand if you ever got to that point.
So yeah, it'd be a waste of everyone's time and money.
Yeah, you say, you know, I'm not going to file this, and I know you're not going to thank me, but you should, you know, because you look like a moron if we took this case, you know, to the court, and so we wouldn't do it. Yeah, one time I had a contingent of police officers all show up at the office at once demanding my job. The Highway Patrol, they tried to get me fired one time because they didn't like the way I was demanding, you know, enough evidence to file a charge.
How dare you demand evidence?
Yeah, and I give it credit to the elected prosecutor that was my boss. He stuck up for me. And he said, "Hey, guys, he's right. You're wrong. I'm not firing him, you know."
Hey, don't you know this is government? We make it up as we go along. Yeah, we don't need any evidence.
He was not elected at the next election.
Ah, well, that's
interesting. That's when I decided to quit, too.
You're ahead, I suppose.
It was, you know, I realized that the atmosphere was going to become less congenial, and I wasn't comfortable enough with it anyway.
Well, good. You know, I think that speaks to a movement in a good direction. You know, let all the nasty, horrible people inhabit the realm of government, and let all the good people leave. Do something more productive, and then it'll be more clear which we need, the market or government.
That's true. And if I was talking to Officer Hopkins, you know, I mean, in one sense, you're saying, well, I'd like the honest, good cop to stay. But on the other hand, I'd really like him to be happy and leave.
Yeah, I'd like him to be able to sleep at night and look himself in the mirror and say, I'm a respectable man. You know, this brings me to one of the questions that you asked earlier in the show, which is, what are the signs that humans are moving toward a voluntary society? I think this is one of them, that honest cops are able to speak courageously. Yeah, they face consequences. Not going to say there aren't consequences for taking a stand, but leaving the police force or being fired from them for speaking honestly about the police's actions, I can't think of a better resolution. Unfortunately, you know, yeah, in the short term, it stinks. A guy lost his job. It was probably cozy. He's going to have some difficult time adjusting, but isn't this a move toward a voluntary society?
Well, if they had a rational attitude toward this, like his fellow police officers, I mean, they might have kidded him about, you know, being called to testify for the defense, and that would have been the end of it, because everybody knows, hey, you got to go when you get a subpoena, and you got to tell the truth, and if the truth helps the other guy, then that's the way it goes. I mean, none of these cases are important enough for anybody to care. I mean, this one is a fair to obey the order of an officer. I mean, how could anyone but the defendant even care about this case? I mean, this is just a bare cut above spitting on the sidewalk.
It reminds me of I heard when I was a kid that there were pharaohs and these early leaders of government types, so-called leaders, they would claim that they had divine rule. They were commissioned by God himself, or the sun god, or whoever was the person at the time. And any order that they gave, well, it wasn't coming from me, just some mere mortal. It's coming from a god. So, of course, you have to obey. And I see a lot of parallels between that and police orders where they say, well, I gave you an order. In fact, I used this in an advertisement for Derek J's victimless crime spree. An officer said to me, I give you an order, you're going to obey it. You know, like, they're just gods, and we have to obey whatever they say. Well, that's not the case. I'm going to follow my conscience.
It's really not the case. If the president of the United States walked up to you and tried to give you an order, there would be no legal basis for you to have to obey it. Nobody has the authority just to come up and boss you around.
It's so laughable.
It's unbelievable. Of course, Pharaoh, I mean, wasn't he supposed to be the son of the sun god or something?
Oh, I don't
like
know
that?
How it all works out, but it's all the same. It's divine right. It's people saying, you have to obey me. Basically, because I say so. And they try and make it more believable by saying, you know, whatever the myths of the time are, like, oh, the sun god has ordained me, or the Constitution has ordained me, whatever they say. But hey, in this move to a voluntary society, I see another avenue for officers like Hopkins here, who spoke the truth. There's a welcome page at copblock.org. It's called Welcome Leos, as in Law Enforcement Officers, L-E-O-S. It's at copblock.org/welcomeleos. And it's a whole web page. It's been around for years, and it's filled with materials, including videos, essays, books, some audio clips, a whole world that you can delve into as a former military or police officer. Just peruse that. If you're someone who just goes against the grain, like Officer Hopkins here, or maybe you're thinking to yourself, I'm not so comfortable, I just started the job here, they want me to lie, they've got this thin blue line thing, or maybe I just don't feel comfortable pulling people over and shaking them down for having the wrong piece of vegetation in their pockets, or whatever it is, check out copblock.org/welcomeleos and consider
that. Do they have jobs there, you know?
I think that should be the next step, because, yeah, there are places where former law enforcement are looked for jobs, like the Threat Management Center in Detroit. Are you familiar?
There's more people in private security in this country than there are in police forces.
Boy, that's
way,
a great point.
Way more.
And they can make more. They can have better benefits sometimes.
Well, sometimes it's hard to beat government benefits.
You get the benefit of being able to, as I said earlier, sleep at night and look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know, I'm an honest, reputable man, instead of saying, all right, well, I lie sometimes in court to protect my friends and buddies, but I get a nice paycheck.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of hard to find that ad that says, wanted mall cop, $80,000 a year, full pension in 5 years or something like that.
Hey, yeah, sure, but it's not the mall cops that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the creative people like Hopkins, who they do their job right and well, and they're trained. They want to protect people, but they're not interested in participating in this like gang mentality of looking out for their officers, even if it means being dishonest. Like, I'm really inspired by Threat Management Center, which I don't know if you're familiar, is an outfit in Detroit, which they don't even carry guns. These are private security police who are able to respond in tank-like vehicles. They're hired doing crazy business out there in Detroit, protecting the people whose police are failing them. Got more. Freedom Fiends returns.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Do you believe in free speech? Jay Raven had her True Shives YouTube channel taken down. We believe this censorship was wrong, and we believe the channel is a clear example of free speech. Many people are bullied on the internet, but Jay Raven actually stood up to the bullying. She has filed a self-defense lawsuit against the individuals who took down the channel. The outcome of this suit could be very important to the future of free speech. Learn more at TrueShibes.com. That's Tango, Romeo, Uniform, Sierra, Hotel, India, Bravo, Echo, Sierra.com. TrueShibes.com.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Meow, meow, meow. It's the Freedom Fiends with some meow therapy. Boy, you should try it sometime. It just makes me feel all warm and tingly inside to meow out my feelings, to sing the meow, to express that. Oh, it just is wonderful. And I know it's cathartic for you as well, Wampus Cat.
Meow therapy. Is that right?
Yes. It's one form of therapy. You've heard of art therapy. This is another form. Well, this is redemption in the third act. We need to calm the hamster in these listeners' brains and remind them that while there are some things that are tyrannical out there, there's hope for a better tomorrow. What gives you hope?
Well, you know, I think we're moving in the right direction, but in a real long term. I mean, I don't know if I'll ever see anything in my lifetime, but
not with that attitude.
We've had if attitude could make it, you know, that would be really great, but we're going to have to get there, you know, somewhere as at least a significant minority of people are going to have to decide they're going to live free and then somehow pull it off.
I don't know. But I like the expression, if you say you can do it or if you say you can't, either way, you're right.
Confidence is good. But we've been slaves for 10,000 years. And slavery, I mean, that's going too far, really. One reasons we have for hope is the fact that we only recently in the past 100 years or so have gotten rid of slavery.
Yeah. It's, you know, I forget how recent that was in the span of human history. Like this ending slavery thing, still a pretty new concept, isn't it?
It's just like yesterday compared to the scheme of how long civilization has been, which has been more than 10,000 years, maybe 12,000 years that this is going on, where they had slavery and tyrannical government. There's another thing that I think should give us hope, and that is the fact that religious freedom. You know, there was a time when it was thought that people had to belong to the religion of the state. And of course, when you combine religion and the state together, that just, it gives the state even more authority and legitimacy that it even would claim if they were separated. So it's a real disaster to have them together. And we have only recently, in the same, kind of on the same timetable as slavery, and even less for most of the world, with the exception of a few crazy people here and there, people have accepted the idea that you should have a freedom of belief and that people cannot be compelled to believe a particular thing or to believe anything.
Could there be another fracture in that idea? Could that expand to include other things like total human freedom?
Well, that would be. I think those are two really super big, significant changes to completely abolish slavery when it was thought for 10,000 years that you couldn't possibly get along without it.
I mean, that's big. A big deal.
And to have religious freedom when it was thought. I mean, there were times back, very few hundred years ago, you know, 300, 400, 500 years ago, when they still believed that civilization itself, the whole society, would break down if everybody in the society wasn't a Protestant or wasn't a Catholic. And still there's places where they think that'll happen if you're not, say, a fundamentalist Muslim, if you're in the wrong country. But most places have rejected that idea. And maybe it'll be completely rejected in the near future, and we'll move on to other other freedoms until we're free completely. But I like to look at those things and think that they're big and we don't appreciate them, and we should.
Well, I hope we've calmed the hamster in your brain tonight. For my part, the hope I see for a voluntary future is right here in New Hampshire. If you haven't visited yet, there's a great opportunity coming up called the Liberty Forum, nhlibertyforum.com. Get the details, get your tickets. I'll see you there. Hey, you going to be there, Randy?
New Hampshire in the winter. I'll skip it and come to Porkfest.
Hey, if you really care about freedom, you'd be willing to put on a jacket for freedom.
Well, how about if we do this again next Sunday night? We'll talk about it.
All right, fair enough. We'll have to hold it until then. Michael Dean will return from his time travels to bring you more Freedom Fiends tomorrow. It's been Wampus Cat Randy England here with you, and Derek J of DerekJ.me and FreedomFiends.com.
Good night.